Good evening. It's Annie Sorrell here, and I've just started a backup recording because I've been having a few recording issues lately. So welcome and thank you for joining me. It's Annie Sorrell, and I'm wanting to talk tonight about practical spirituality, what that might mean, and how it might be helpful in this COVID pandemic, and for some of you in lockdown or various degrees of lockdown, and others not. And just my hope that I might present some ideas that might make it a little easier for you, help you to find your way through what is a really challenging situation for everyone. And please ignore, as I say, I'll be just throwing out some ideas of mine. I invite you to listen with an open mind and throw out what doesn't land for you and doesn't make sense. And before I go any further, I really want to acknowledge the fact that it is such a unique experience for each person. We all experience everything uniquely. We each experience things in our own way, but the diversity of effect on people with this is so massive, from those who are home with children, who are learning how to educate their children at home, people with disabilities, people with family that they're separated from, some people who, like myself, extremely fortunate in being able to work from home, others who are not able to work at all, so many different ways that people are being affected by this. And I don't know what it's like to be in a situation like this with a disability, without employment, with children at home. And I just want to acknowledge that at the outset. However, I will endeavour to offer support for you, whether I know what it's like for you or have any hints as to what it might be like for you or not. And really, when you think about what we're talking about with COVID-19, it is global. And I know I'm stating the obvious. And this is where one of the ways that can help us to deal with it is to keep in mind both, to move between those two places of this is my experience of what's happening and this is happening globally. Because we need to be here and now with it, but we also need to keep in mind the bigger picture. And when we dance between those two places, it helps us, I think, to bring a more balanced perspective to what's happening. The bottom line with it is that there is huge uncertainty, and more than anything, we humans lack control. Humans are born, it's estimated, with a 70% predisposition to fear. Anytime we're in fear, anxiety, worry, doubt, concern, we reach for ways to bring more control to the situation. You know, we say, I want to know what's going on. I want to know what to do. And the more we're seeking to have control, to have guarantees, the more we're seeking to feel safe. And that's why these press conferences have so many questions about what if, what if, what if, what if, covering all the hypotheticals, which it's not possible to do. This is not something that we are experienced in, that anyone's experienced in. We can look at what's happening in other countries, but this is Australia's unique experience. And so that reaching for control and not being able to have control in and of itself is really stressful. And so what I'm wanting to do tonight is look at this situation both from the individual perspective and the global perspective, and bring into the mix of that from the human perspective and from the soul's perspective. And I'll either totally confuse you or give you some things to think about with that. So basically, as I was saying, the problem is there are all these challenges which are impacting everyone in different ways, and the barrage of social media and news media that goes with it. And straight up, I would encourage you to carefully manage how much you expose yourself to that. It is important to be keeping an eye on what's going on in terms of what's happening with lockdown, where contact areas are, if the virus is active where you're living. But too much exposure, and it can start to take over your life. If anything that triggers anxiety, we need to bring that anxiety back down again, not feed the anxiety. And so if we hear something in the media and then we go talking to someone and that has its effect, and then we talk to someone about what we've heard and that has its effect. And if you are monitoring your stress levels, if you're watching how your body is feeling, it's quite likely that you'll notice that it will start to get tighter or heavier, or your breathing will become accelerated and more chest breathing. Your pulse might increase. So our system, you know, if we start to feel anxious about something, our body responds as though there is an immediate threat, not as though there is a potential threat, because that fight-flight response is fairly primitive response. So choosing what you listen to, how much you think about it, how much you focus on it is really important. We can spend so much of our day looking at the external world, looking at what we need to get done, where we need to go, etc., and lose touch with ourselves. So coming back into yourself throughout the day, just taking a deep breath into your tummy now and then, or not even very deep, but just slow, sensing that you're breathing into your tummy, noticing how your tummy responds to that. And at first, until you get used to that, putting your hand on your tummy and deliberately expanding it as you inhale, and then allowing it to relax as you exhale. And after a while, that'll become natural and automatic. You won't need to put your hand there. You just need to think about it. Maintaining ourselves as individuals is our responsibility, and never has there been a more important time for doing that. I heard someone saying the other day something about, you know, this is like a war. And in a way it is. And the good thing about this war, though, is that we're not sending our young people off to fight. We're all on the front line. And we all can contribute to how this plays out and look at how we contribute to what is happening. So listening to comedies, watching comedies, having fun, you know, getting on social media. I mean, you hear all these things all the time, but it really is important, and we do have choice over those sorts of decisions that we make. So we're living in a time where there's a lot of change and a lot of uncertainty and limited control. And that is where, if we come back to our home environment, come back to ourselves, we can look at, well, what do I have control over right now? Sorry about that, I didn't turn my phone off. We can come back to where is my control? What can I control? And that's where having a routine, for example, can be very beneficial, maybe more routine than you usually have, a routine about when you get up in the morning, about when you do certain things through the day. Routines, sort of, it's as though they hold us, they give us the comfort, because there's something that we can rely on. Oh, it's 1 o'clock, this is when I have lunch, or whatever. And so reaching to have what control we can have is really beneficial. And I'll talk more about that sort of thing in a minute. But when we're dealing with change, so change and uncertainty are in a lot of ways the two biggies that we humans are not very comfortable with. Our soul loves change because our soul wants us to be here to learn and grow. That's why our soul is here, to learn, to grow, to experience, to explore, to adventure. But our human self is all about survival. What do I need to do to survive, to make sure I've got a job, I've got a house, I've got clothing, I've got food? That's what our human self is all about. And some people are very happy to live their lives addressing simply those that from that human perspective. Others of us look for something more, for whatever reason. And that's, well, I would see it as their soul calling to them to live at a soul level as well. And so when you bring those two perspectives to our situation now, then that gives us more choice. So when we're feeling fear, the fear of change, and we're feeling the fear around uncertainty, that brings up fear in us and it brings up frustration in us. Fear of what might happen, frustration that we can't make what we want to have happen. So that can feel really disempowering. And so what's inclined to happen then is that we argue with reality, basically. We say, I don't want this. When's this going to be over? It's so annoying. Why can't it be managed better? Why don't more people get vaccinated? When's it going to end? And that's a totally normal response. Of course, nobody wants this, and we would all love to know that it's going to end and our lives will be better afterwards. But while ever we're thinking like that, we're missing out on a whole lot of opportunities, and we're also triggering and reinventing that fear and frustration that keeps going on. And if we say, well, I'm just looking forward to it being over, we have no idea when it's going to be over. And are we happy to just set aside that time until it's over? And, you know, when we're looking forward, we're not being here now. We're saying, I'll be happy when. And in the meantime, I'm just waiting for when to happen. And there can be days and weeks and months before when comes. And so that is, in a way, wasting our lives. It's totally understandable, as I say, but there are those days and weeks and months that are precious too, and that we can find ways to work with if we choose to turn it around and look the other way. When we're in that mode of complaining about this and how annoying it is and how annoying the restrictions are, annoying having to wear a mask, annoying not being able to go out. Well, first up, coming back to that global perspective, in the end, this is about a virus that is threatening everyone on the planet. And I think we can sometimes forget that and getting caught up in these little details of having to wear a mask or restrict our activities. So reminding yourself of the big picture, and that the people in authority are doing what they think best, to keep us safe, to keep the economy going, etc., etc. And so that reminder of what we're dealing with, the broader perspective, can help to settle things down when we're really upset that we can't visit a family member or a friend who might be sick or might be celebrating. So keeping that perspective in mind. If we stay arguing with reality instead of accepting it is what it is, this is just how it is, then we can feel like a victim. And that when we're feeling like a victim, we feel frustrated, we can feel depressed, we can feel rebellious, we can feel anxious, helpless, hopeless, shut down. You know, feeling powerless is not a nice feeling, as you may have noticed. And so acknowledging to ourselves when we're feeling like this is really important. It's not about stuffing it down, but it's being aware of it. And so in spite of the fact that there's a lot of change happening and a lot of uncertainty, there is also the opportunity for choice. We always have choice. Often we'll say, I had no choice, but we do always have choice. It is that sometimes the alternatives are not desirable at all, and then it feels as though we don't have choice, but we do have choice. And with COVID and with lockdowns and with restrictions, we can argue and complain about it, argue with reality, complain, this is not what I want, I don't like what's happening, which inevitably makes us feel bad. Or we can say, we can accept it. It is what it is. This is what I'm what's happening right now. So when we argue with something, it's like we're turning, well, you know, if you're arguing with a person, you're turning and looking at the problem, focusing on the problem. I don't want this problem. I don't want this problem. I don't want this problem. Or we can say, well, this problem is here. So what am I going to do about it? What is the solution for me to this problem? And when we do that, we're turning away from the problem. We're turning back to ourselves, which is empowering, and saying, if I take responsibility for myself, what is that going to look like into the future? And all of a sudden, we're starting to feel more empowered instead of the helpless victim. And so there are two aspects of our being to be aware of in this. Our emotions and our attitudes. And our emotions rule. You've listened to me before, you know I'm obsessive about emotions. So we can say, all right, it is what it is, no good complaining about it. I'm going to think of ways to make the best of it and turn and face that. But if we've still got that fear and frustration and whatever other emotions inside us, it's really hard to see where the door is opening to what else is possible. And so it's not about denying the emotions, it's about acknowledging the emotions and then thinking about changing our thinking about it, acknowledging them, releasing them, healing them. And I just, the Serenity Prayer, it came to mind for me when I was thinking about this talk, which says, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And it would probably be really good if we all had that plastered on our foreheads for the next few months. Coming back to the arguing with reality. I can't change reality. This is the reality. What can I change in my world as a consequence of that reality? And there's the wisdom to know the difference between those two. And I was thinking earlier today about Viktor Frankl, who wrote Man's Search for Meaning, who went into a Nazi concentration camp during the war, and he decided that he was going to survive the war. He was going to do whatever it took to survive the war. And part of what helped him with that decision was realizing that the soldiers might have control over his body, over where he was, what he was fed, etc., what he had to do. But they did not control his mind. And by that, I mean mind and emotions. And so I think that I'm not for a minute suggesting that what I'm talking about is easy, but it is an alternative to what is not very fulfilling. And he survived the war, and he, as I say, he wrote the book about his experience. And so it is possible, and we're not all Viktor Frankls, but we are ourselves, and I believe that we all have strengths and abilities that we don't know we have until we're severely tested, and then we discover them. And so if we clear the frustration, clear the fear, what that does is it creates space for us to think more clearly, for us to have intuitive guidance more naturally and easily, and for us to act on the clarity that comes when we remove the emotions out of the situations. Emotions are felt in our amygdala, affect the amygdala in the brain. When we're in a highly emotional state, the amygdala expands, and it's right next to the hippocampus, which stores facts, stores information, stores logic, is where we think logically and rationally. When the amygdala is swollen, it puts pressure on the hippocampus and we can't think as clearly. So that's why I say, and also if we're really stressed, if we're in fight-flight mode, then the blood from our brain is going to our muscles. It's not important for our brain to be able to think clearly, because we're just going to fight or run. That doesn't take sophisticated thinking. But our muscles need all the blood they can get. And so the oxygen, our brains become oxygen depleted, which also interferes with our ability to think clearly. So when we address our emotional state and seek to keep us in a good ourselves in a good emotional place, we're going to think more clearly and make better choices. So that's sort of me talking about this briefly on a human perspective. And the global perspective humanly. Now I'd like to come to the soul's perspective. So this is, as I said, wanting to talk about practical spirituality. Spirituality can be, you know, fairly woo-woo and out there. I'm wanting to talk about ways to bring this back down to us for a more meaningful way of living with it and greater guidance with it. So a lot of people are saying, remember, we back in the 60s, this is the dawning of the age of Aquarius, and it's a moot point as to when we moved out of the age of Pisces and into the age of Aquarius, but a lot of people are seeing it as that the COVID is the dividing line, that COVID is creating the end of the Pisces era and the beginning of the Aquarian era. And Aquarius is very much about all for one and one for all. Aquarius is about human rights. It's about respecting each other. It's knowing that for everyone to be happy, for one person to be happy, everyone has to be happy. It has to. We can't be in happiness when we know there is suffering. And right now, we're probably more aware of suffering in the world than we ever have been before in a lot of ways. Well, don't call me out on that, I'm not entirely sure when I think about it. But we're very aware at the moment, for example, about people who are unemployed, about people who are in aged care, people who have disabilities. We're not hearing much about the really underdeveloped countries and the suffering that's taking place there. That awareness is still needing to land. But the virus is making us think about others a lot more. Every time we put on a mask, not only are we protecting ourselves, but we could well be protecting someone else. This is a shift. This is a soul shift. This is an evolutionary shift that is taking place, that our own actions can have such a strong impact on other people's actions, on people's lives. COVID, because it is global, it's uniting gradually for some countries. It's uniting us against a common enemy, bringing us together. Hopefully, it's going to minimise the fighting between countries, because here's the opportunity to see that we are all human in the face of this virus. So it's an opportunity. And one of the things that sort of highlights what's happening with COVID and why we can see it as a spiritual thing is the fact that the social distancing of 1.5 metres is approximately the size of a person's aura. So we're now not intruding on each other's auras. And the lockdowns is keeping us at home, where we have a greater opportunity to get to know ourselves and be with ourselves. Because when we spend a lot of time with other people, there's not so much focus on our own identity. It's us as social beings. When we're home with ourselves, we are there with our thoughts, we're there with our feelings. We sit down face to face with ourselves. So, getting back to talking about the age of Aquarius, the focus on the rights of the individual, on human rights, on thinking of others, being there for others, being respectful to others, all of this is coming about right now. And what is spirituality, after all? The Dalai Lama has a, if I just quote an excerpt from one of his books, he says, "Spirituality I take to be concerned with those qualities of the human spirit, such as love and compassion, patience, tolerance, forgiveness, contentment, a sense of responsibility, a sense of harmony, which brings happiness to both ourselves and to others." And so this is an opportunity for us to explore those qualities and notice how much we live according to those qualities. And you might think, well, actually, I'm not spiritual, I'm not on a spiritual path, and this doesn't mean anything to me, but yes, I enjoy being loving and kind and helping people, and I do care about people. And so, you know, to me, in a way, well, that's being spiritual, when we're really thinking about others and caring about others. If you're wanting to go further than that, then spirituality is very much a choice, and it was a choice that I made in my early 40s when I decided that I needed something to believe in, something to give my life some meaning and purpose. And having been brought up in a Christian church, I'd walked away from that in my late teens because there were things about it I didn't like. I decided to form my own belief system from ideas that I read, from what I valued, what was important to me. And so if you are looking for some sort of a spirituality, that is something to keep in mind. You can write your own rules. It doesn't have to be what someone else tells you to think or feel or believe. You have complete choice around this. And I, with my own, put the proviso on that the beliefs that I chose would be based on what made sense to me, obviously, and that would encourage me to have, would be helping me to have a positive impact on others and be positive for myself. And so I reframed some of the beliefs around karma. For example, at the time, what I'd read made karma very much about us being punished for getting it wrong, and I really wanted to move right away from that concept of punishment. So I sort of ignored it for a while, and then sort of came across books which talked about it being a soul's choice, that our soul wants to experience everything, experience all the emotions, experience all different actions, and that made a lot more sense to me. And then there's a whole lot more that goes with that, which I won't go into now, but I'm just sort of stating the obvious, probably, but just inviting you to make your own path, make your own way, if that calls to you. And a couple of books, one in particular that really informed me was Anatomy of the Spirit by Caroline Ness, and I read that over and over. And another one was called Why Me, Why This, Why Now by Robin Norwood, which was basically saying, why do we have challenges in our lives? And her answer is to get us to turn from focusing solely on survival and materialism and possessions, on a human view of the world, to seeking a greater meaning. And interestingly, she wrote that book just when the AIDS outbreak was happening, and she talks quite a lot about that in her book. And so it's highly relevant again now in that regard. And she talks in her book then about it being a lesson for us in non-judgment, in acceptance and loving without prejudice, being open-hearted. It's a really highly readable book, and one that I'd recommend if you're interested in exploring that. And there's a zillion other books out there. You might even like to just sort of sit down and ask yourself, what does spirituality mean for me? At the most basic definition, and spirituality is the relationship we have with a power that we believe to be, we see as being greater than ourselves. And our relationship can be a relationship of not believing, or it can be a relationship of fearing, or it can be a relationship of loving or of worshipping. And that's our choice. So when if we bring a personal spiritual perspective to this situation, having talked about the global Aquarian one briefly, if you're wanting to bring a spiritual perspective to it, then a really helpful question to ask to help to come out of that frustrated victim mindset is, why did my soul choose to be here? It's no accident that I'm here at this time, because there are no accidents in the universe, or the divine doesn't make mistakes. So why, and that's part of my belief system, that we have a spiritual family that we keep coming back with each lifetime, and we play different roles out for each other with each lifetime. So, you know, we might be the mother to someone one time, and the next time we might be married to them, or they might be our boss or something like that. And you know how sometimes when you meet someone, they immediately feel immediately familiar? I suspect that that's often past life. And we have, I believe, that we have a lot of lives, and so we can have played a lot of different roles through all those different lives, and that we plan before we're born with our spiritual family, that it might be in this next life, I want to learn to be very loving, and so someone else in your family might say, or one of your guides might say, well, that means you need to start out being deprived of love so that you know that the value of love, and you want to learn how to be loving. So who would like to be your parent and deprive you and be an unloving parent and experience what it's like to be an unloving parent, so you can learn, have your life of learning about how to be loving? And so if you want to think of it like that, then the beauty in that is that you can think, well, I chose to be here. This is no mistake I'm here. No good arguing, I don't want this to be happening. This is, the fact that this is happening is precisely why I'm here at this time, to be here in this now. And so can you see how that straight away can again put you in a position of more power? And you can actually take it one step further than that. You can play let's pretend. Let's pretend that I have decided, I have chosen to be, the human me has chosen to be in this situation where I'm going to be locked down at home, or I have to wear a mask, or I'm unemployed for a while. What might that human me have been wanting to learn, to grow, to develop through this? Maybe learning how to be isolated without going off my head. Maybe it's an opportunity for me to learn a musical instrument, or to learn to be an artist, or to write a book, or to develop a better reputation with my children, or to learn more about how to heal myself. So when we take out that I'm being made to do this, whether we blame it on how the virus got out in the first place or anything else, when we take that out of the equation and say, what if I chose this? I wonder why my soul might have wanted me to be here right now. And what we most don't like about lockdown is most likely what we're here to learn and grow through. So if it's, I really, really dislike being alone, what can I learn from being alone? If it's really difficult for me to be at home looking after the children day after day, what might I be here to learn about myself? And how might I be able to improve my parenting? How might I be able to make this as positive an experience as possible for the family? What strengths might you have the opportunity to discover you have that you never knew until now you had? What might there be that you've always wanted to do that you can now do that? Or is it quite simply that you're going to be up-leveling your ability to run a stressed household, your ability to multitask? But if you turn and look for what are the opportunities and what are the possibilities in this, rather than, oh, this is awful, then that change in attitude can make all the difference. And when it's too hard to make that change in attitude, when you're too frustrated or too anxious, that's when it's back to processing the emotions. When you're in a good emotional place, it'll be easier to make good choices. It will also be easier to hear guidance from your soul as to what it's wanting you to learn from in this situation. It'll be much easier when you're in a calm and centered and harmonious place to listen to the whispers from the soul, to hear the sudden idea about what might be open to you for you to develop. What might you be able to do for the common good? It could be volunteering in some way. It could be checking in by phone with a whole lot of different people. Phone calls, especially to people who live alone, people who are lonely. I live in an apartment complex. It's just one of the things I love about Canberra. I go down to the car park and people that I see in the car park occasionally will say, "Are you okay? How are you going? You're all right with this?" It's amazing how these open hearts are really starting to come out. And so you can do a bit of a brainstorm with this. You could do a brainstorm with a friend about it. You know, if we play this silly game, silly seeming game, what could be good about this? What could be begun? What can I grow into more of? Just might be surprised. And that's where some prayers don't go astray. And a prayer like, "Okay, I'm surrendering to the fact that this is how it is right now." And surrendering is perceived as a very high spiritual concept, being willing to surrender, to hand over to the divine and say, "Okay, the fact that I'm here right now means I'm meant to be here right now. The fact that this is what I'm experiencing right now is what I'm meant to be experiencing right now. Please show me what is the next best step for me to take. Stop me if I'm going in the wrong direction, and give me the courage and the strength to cope in the meantime. How can I manage this better? What do you require of me? Show me the way, guide me, protect me, support me, comfort me, and give me directions." And then listen for those little urges. You don't evaluate them, just notice. They're always positive, they're never running us down, they're never criticising us. But they don't necessarily tell us what we want to hear either. But if something keeps playing on your mind and playing on your mind, then that just might be divine guidance. Or it comes through very strongly for a day and then it just dissolves away. But you keep thinking about it anyway. But we need to be emotionally clear to hear our intuition, the same as we need to be emotionally clear to think clearly. So when we surrender to what is and say, "Okay, you win, I give up, I'm going to stop arguing. What next?" There's a little formula that I've come up with that might be a sort of helpful guidance. And what does surrender look like? The first thing is taking responsibility. taking responsibility for how we think and feel and how we speak. And when I talk about turning towards what the opportunities might mean, I don't mean pretending. I don't mean putting on a happy face while on the inside your stomach is churning or you've got gritted teeth trying to deal with the frustration that you're feeling. What I mean is dealing with that anxiety and that frustration so that you feel good, as well as thinking, controlling your thoughts in a way that they're more positive. So it's about clear emotions and watching your attitude, watching the decisions that you're making, the way that you're thinking. And so that's that self-care, taking responsibility. If you're feeling cruddy, doing some tapping or doing some journaling, or maybe going for a walk, putting on some music and doing some wild dancing. But each day, each morning when you wake up, as a friend of mine does, saying to yourself, how are you this morning? How are you feeling right now? What do you need right now? And maybe 5 minutes of meditating can make all the difference, or 5 minutes of tapping, or 5 minutes of writing. I'm feeling really frustrated. Here's another day of whatever. So that's the second step. Self-care is choosing. The first step is choosing to take care of ourselves, to be our own best friend, to have our back, to do what we can to support ourselves. It's no one else's job. If we're an adult, no one else's job to support us through this. And the more that we support ourselves, the more that we keep ourselves in a good place, the more we can be available then to be there for others as well, to spread that kindness to others once we've started with being kind to ourselves, reaching out to people that we know or suspect might be struggling. So first step, self-care. Second step, keeping on top of the emotions. They're going to keep welling up. Things happen and they trigger emotions. We feel those emotions in our body. If we keep feeling them and reassuring and comforting ourselves, they can move through. If we pretend, we tell ourselves we shouldn't be feeling like that and stuff them down, we carry them around with us when they erupt, when we don't want them to. The third thing is choosing our thoughts, not choosing to argue with reality, but accepting what reality is and doing what we can, choosing how to respond with that reality. The fourth step is maintaining perspective, remembering why we have these restrictions. On two planes. One, that we are seeking to protect people's lives. And two, we're going through an opportunity for massive change, change in our values, changing from focusing a lot on money, on material possessions, on competition, an opportunity to instead focus on compassion, understanding, sharing, generosity. So those two perspectives. And then, so what's that one, two, three, four? The fifth one, asking to be shown, just saying a little prayer, guide my way, or offering the day each morning, offering the day to the divine. This day belongs to you. After all, you're the one that set it up with this virus. Show me, guide my way, help me to move through this day with grace, with ease, with generosity of spirit, with gratitude, with love, and with compassion. And so we have within us the ability to move from the seeming chaos of uncertainty, of unpredictability, of change, to choosing to keep ourselves clear and calm and balanced and centered, so that we can intend to find the opportunities and possibilities in this situation, so that we can be creative in uncovering more of who we are and our possibilities and potentials, and developing strength and courage and resilience and commitment in holding to that path. I'm just wondering whether there are any questions or comments, and then we'll move on to doing a little bit of healing. I'm just checking my phone. There's nothing there. No. Okay. All right. So let's do a little bit of tapping, and let's start with a little bit of rant tapping, which is one of my favourites. We're so programmed with how we should think and how we feel. There's that rebellious part of us that wants, so often likes to be acknowledged. So let's do a little bit of tapping, acknowledging that. Even though I'm feeling this frustration and anxiety, and I don't want to get over it, I'm entitled to be frustrated. This is not how I want my life to be. And of course I'm anxious. There's too much uncertainty and too much change. I acknowledge these feelings now. Staying on the side of your hand. Even though I don't want to get over this, I don't want to try and feel better. I'm really cranky. I'm angry. I'm fed up with it. This has gone on for long enough. Could someone press the stop button now? I choose to love and accept myself anyway. Even though I really don't want this fear, I don't want to get over it either. I'm entitled to be anxious. Of course I'm worried, but so many reasons to be worried. Don't tell me not to be worried. And I acknowledge these feelings now. Top of head. I'll be as worried as I like. Eyebrow. And I'll be as frustrated as I like. Side of eye. Don't tell me what to do. Under eye. This is really annoying. Under nose. I feel really angry about all the ways this is inconveniencing my life. Under lips. This is not what I want. Under collarbone, and of course I'm scared. Under arm. Sometimes I feel really anxious about it. Top of head. And other times I forget about it. Eyebrow. I'm entitled to feel like this. Side of eye. And this is true for me, right here and right now. Under eye, this frustration. Under nose, this fear. Under lips, all these emotions. Under collarbone, I really don't want this to be happening. Under arm, I want it all to stop. Just taking a couple of breaths. I And so doing some more tapping like that, you know, you might want to wake up every morning and say, I don't want this. I really, really don't want it. I am so angry that this is happening. Say it. Tap and say it, and you will start to feel better. Now we'll do a little bit just for when we're wanting to especially calm down that anxiety side of hand. Even though I have this anxiety and I feel really out of control, I don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next. I choose to acknowledge these feelings now. Even though I get churned up in the stomach, my breathing gets really fast. I even get sweaty sometimes. And other times I just have this low-level nagging worry. I choose to love and accept myself anyway. Even though I have all this anxiety about my friends, about my family, about my income, and I feel lonely and isolated as well, I acknowledge these feelings now. Top of head. All of this anxiety. Eyebrow. Feeling overwhelmed. Side of eye. Feeling scared. Under eye. Worrying about my family. Under nose. Worrying about my friends. Under lips. Worrying about my finances. Under collarbone, worrying about when it might end. Under arm, worrying about what might happen next. Top of head, all these fears and doubts. Eyebrow, and of course this is how I'm feeling. Side of eye, it's totally reasonable to be feeling like this right now. Under eye. And I'm acknowledging that part of me that's feeling this anxiety. Under nose. And I'm open to finding ways to comfort that part of me. Under lips, to support that anxious part of me. Under collarbone, to soothe that anxious part. Under arm, and to reassure it. Just having a rest there. Couple of breaths. Now we'll just start to bring in how we might like to feel instead. So side of hand. What if as I acknowledge this anxiety, it can start to move through me? And I can start to feel better. Top of head. What if as I allow this anxiety to come to the surface, eyebrow, and I let myself feel it, side of eye, or tap on it, under eye, or journal about it, under nose, or meditate and be with it. Under lips, so it can gradually dissolve away. Under collarbone. And as it leaves me, under arm, what if that creates space? Top of head for calm to come in. Eyebrow. sense of peace. Light of eye, more relaxation. And eye, more courage. And nose, more confidence. And lips, and what if I start to open to possibilities? And the collarbone, of how I can look after myself today. And the arm, how I can be there for others. Top of head, what if I can find my center? Eyebrow, what if even just some slow deep breaths? Side of the eye can help me to soothe and calm and relax. Under eye, what if there is a quiet place inside me? Under nose, and I can visit that place. Under lips, and spend time with me. And the collarbone, forgetting about the outside world. And the arm, and coming home to myself. Top of head, and what if I can trust? Eyebrow, that everything is unfolding. Side of eye, exactly the way it's meant to. And the eye. And minute by minute, under nose, day by day, under lips, I can be guided and supported and protected, under collarbone, as I go about my day, under arm. Okay. Taking a breath or two there. Now we're just going to finish up by inviting healing energy, divine love and healing energy, metta, blessings, come in through the tops of our heads. Flow down through our bodies, filling every cell in our body, all the way down to our feet. And sending that, imagine sending out those blessings, that loving, healing energy out to the people you care about. And if you'd like to, and to the people who are on the front line, and to the leaders who are having to make the big decisions for so many of us, for everyone, for so many people. Coming back to yourself again, making sure that you're still topped up. Taking a breath or two, feeling back into your body and opening your eyes when you're ready. Thank you for being with me tonight or later on. And I hope this has been helpful, and sending you all much love and gratitude. Bye for now.